Yeah, and it's so important that we take the initiative to really get to know one another, more than just on a surface level, but at a deep heart level. And that's our expectation of our leaders, and really should be our expectation of each other. That if we're expecting to show up on a weeknight to Piney Family and just kind of sit and take in some teaching and have some food and then, you know, check that off and we go home again, we're going to be missing out on so much, so many blessings that we would receive, so many blessings in serving others as well. And so to do that effectively, we have to sometimes move out of our comfort zone and just get to know people, get to know what's going on in their lives.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
So here's a connected question. Steve, may I ask a question? You're moderating this.
Yes, discussion. You may.
Okay, thank you.
You may ask a moderate question.
So getting to know people is important. We need to take the time to do that. What if we get to know people and we realize we don't necessarily like them? Because there's no guarantee that we're going to be in a Piney Family with people that we, only with people that we like, that we have a lot in common with. Do we have to like the people in our Piney Family? And if we don't, what do we do about that? So should we like the people in our Piney Family?
My experience is, I don't know the answer to the should question, but my experience...
Let's just assume no one in your Piney Family is listening to this podcast. How would you answer that?
Yeah, when I have first begun to relate to people in Piney Families, often their idiosyncrasies and the things that make them...
What?
Idiosyncrasies.
Oh.
And the things that make them different from me can put me off and... I can think, well, I'm not sure that I really want to get close to this person. And it has happened without fail that as I do get to know them on a more personal level, as I begin to pray for them, as I begin to have more of those heart-level conversations, I always end up loving them.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I may not like them in the beginning, mm-hmm. it has never failed that I don't start loving them. I guess it's never failed that I do start loving
right.
them. So that's been my experience. So I think that when you first join a Piney Family, I think that you should be careful about making rash decisions. Oh, I don't know if I want to be a part of this Piney Family based on feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for most people, if you give yourself a chance, you will begin to grow to love those people.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we try to identify barriers to developing relationships with the variety of people. Our culture is very individualistic. We are all about self-identity mm-hmm. and what makes us us. And as we seek to discover exactly what that is or who we are, we have a tendency to be drawn to other people who we think are like that or like the things that we like. Not all cultures are that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some cultures are much more community oriented, where there's self identity is actually looked down upon, and so they have a much easier time being community with a diversity of people. And so it's not as if the barriers that we have to having authentic community are universal. Mm. It's very much tied to our culture.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to do a lot of self reflection. And ask ourselves, am I making more of myself and my identity and my joys and desires and passions? Am I making more of that than I should? And in doing so, am I excluding other people and possibly other relationships that would be very valuable?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important question that we need to ask ourselves.
Yeah, and I think as Christians in community, one of the things that gets in the way of that is just having a wrong-headed idea about really what we're here for, but what we're in community for. There's a lot of, seems like to me, there's a lot of writing, talking, emphasis on the idea of community recently, that we were created for community. We can't live the Christian life without community, that God lives and has been eternally in community with himself. And so as a reflection of his character, Christians should live in community, all of which I think is true and good and right. But just like about everything, we turn that on its head and go, oh, that means that I deserve to have community, and that I should have this ideal community that fits me perfectly, that, you know, is going to kind of what you were saying. It's an individualistic bent, even with the idea of community. I want to have people with my same interests. And, mm-hmm. and then the church has kind of, I don't think Piney Ridge has, but church maybe more generally has kind of catered to that. And so we have affinity groups, like small groups that are based on affinities, what you like to do, hobbies. And if you like to, you know, if you like to bow hunt, well, here's a small group of bow hunters. And instead of letting the gospel shape our small groups, and the gospel says, well, as we've been learning through the book of Ephesians, that Christ came to break down barriers and walls and to remove all these incredibly huge differences, the differences between Jews and Gentiles that are rooted in, you know, centuries of animosity and tradition, and the gospel came to break those down. And so we should be eager to be in groups where people are different than us, when people have different interests, different backgrounds, different ages, different ethnicities, ethnicities, if that, you know, is possible. In our context, it's not a huge possibility because we're mostly white people, but we should be eager for that because it displays the power of the gospel. It displays, there's some kids, there's some rapscallions. Steve, go yell at those rapscallions.
Rapscallions in the hallway.
Steve's now outside making sure that no one is running in the church building.
He's taking care of business.
Grandpa Steve, he may not come back for a while. I thought he was just going to poke his head up. Oh, he's back. Did you take care of business?
Taking care of business. It's the school teacher in me that I have to go check out when I hear some noisy behavior going on in the hallway. Carry on.
Okay, thanks. So I was just saying that when we have groups that are more diverse, I think it's a better picture of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so I think we need to battle against the tendency that we all have to seek a group where we're most comfortable, where people are most like us. And remember that, it's talking about the purpose. Our purpose is Christ's purpose, that we should be looking in any context, but I think especially in the church, to not be served, not think, what is this group going to do for me, but how can I serve?
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah, mm-hmm. I tell this story a lot, but when we first joined Piney Ridge Church, we would have been, Sandy and I were in our late 50s at the time, and we would have been a lot more comfortable in a group of other people that were like us, retired or close to retired. The kids are out of the home, so we were empty nesters, and we might have felt more comfortable in a group like that. Instead, Craig Clayton, who was in charge of Piney Families at the time, mm-hmm. saw fit to stick us in Jason Meyer's Piney Family. Ooh. Which was a group of about seven couples maybe, that were all in their late 20s or early 30s and all had little kids. I think at one time we had 21 kids in this Piney Family, and 19 of them were age 6 or under. So to say that we were not with people like us would be not a stretch at all. And at first we wondered if we really belonged in this group, but as it turned out, we could serve that group. As it mm-hmm. turned out, this group needed an older couple to share some wisdom from having lived through raising kids, to say, hey, you know what? This phase will not last forever. Yeah. To serve them by babysitting their kids and giving them a date night. And just to serve the kids by being a grandfather and grandmother figure that they could come sit on your lap and just cuddle for a little while. And so it was a huge blessing to be part of that group for 2 years, and and we miss those people. But and so I think that it is, you speak words of wisdom there when you say don't look for what's going to make you most comfortable, because the gospel is not about our comfort. The gospel is about Christ and sharing Christ with each other and helping each other to see Christ in every situation that that we're in. And so to think how can we serve is a much better way to approach it than how can we be served.
Yeah. Yeah, and God, his aim for us is to glorify him by becoming more and more like Jesus. Speaking of someone serving, you can probably hear in the background Craig Moyer blowing grass.
Hey, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Craig's a servant.
He is.
Craig mows almost every week for free.
We praise God for him.
We do. So what was I saying about before Craig so rudely interrupted when he's blowing? That our purpose is to become more, God's purpose for us is to become more like Christ. And that generally doesn't happen by us being really comfortable.
Amen.
Generally doesn't happen by us, you know, having all our preferences catered to. It generally happens when we're put in situations and with people that are going to rub the rough edges off of us. So, you know, if we're with a group of people that we all like the same things, we all have the same interests and all pin the same things on Pinterest, then we're probably not going to be rubbed very much. I mean, eventually we will because people are sinners. But if we're with people that have very different interests, that have personalities that we may not, you know, jive with very well, don't necessarily even like, I think there's a greater opportunity for God to do some quick shaping and molding of us, because it'll reveal things about our hearts that he wants to deal with. And those tougher relationships often do that pretty quickly.
The mission of Piney Ridge Church is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ in our community and throughout the world. And we've been talking a lot about making disciples of Jesus Christ in our church, within our church. But small groups, Piney families, are also a place that we can join together to make disciples in our community. So, Brian, why don't you talk a little bit about third place?
Yeah, so there are four different elements to our Piney families that we want to see happen in a given month. And one of those is teaching from God's Word, which is going to include discussion. One of those is prayer, sharing a meal together. And then, as you mentioned, third place. And so the idea of third place has been around for a very long time. And I think the original meaning of that in the book that was written years ago was that these third places were places that weren't a person's
place of residence,
or their work, but it was some place that was neutral, it was natural, it was part of the rhythm of their life. And so maybe it was a coffee shop or just some place that they hung out where community happened. Sometimes it's a town square or a city park. So neutral, natural, in the rhythms of everyday life where community happened. And so this is where great discussions were taking place and friendships were being built.
My whoa. Stomach,
it's like, boy, a bear, did you pick that up? Stomach. A bear in my stomach. I'm getting close to lunchtime. And we have some modern day third places since that idea came out years ago. You know, a lot of people look at Starbucks. That was the reason for their success, is because they have become a third place. And so the idea behind third place with Piney families is that once a month we want to do something in the community that is very natural. It's very neutral, so it's accessible by people who don't speak church lingo, and it's part of the rhythms of everyday life. And the idea is that in today's society, fewer and fewer people are going to accept an invitation to come to a Sunday morning gathering, unlike in previous decades. And more and more people out there have never stepped foot in a church. They don't understand the lingo that we use on a daily basis sometimes. And so third place is a way that we can bring these people into community, and we can have gospel conversations, again, in a way that's very accessible for them, with the hope that that they will they'll develop relationships with us, we with them, and that through community they will begin to see the gospel, that the Spirit will use community in order to reach them. We talked about this before at some of our Piney Family kickoffs in previous years, that if you poll a group of believers and you ask, you know, how many of you came to Christ through an individual, maybe it was a person at work or somebody knocked on your door and shared the gospel mm-hmm. with you and you responded to that, and out of a group of several hundred people, you might get one or two. But then you ask, how many people came to Christ or responded to the gospel through being part of a community of believers? And the vast majority raise their hand and mm-hmm. say, yeah, that was me. And so third place is a way that we can be out in the community, either serving in some very direct ways. We have some Piney families who serve like at the crisis nursery or at a nursing home, other ways that they are physically serving. We have third places that are more affinity types of, mm-hmm. of groups, whether it's
knitting
or a hiking group or what have you. So again, the idea is to build relationships with people who are not believers, genuine relationships with people who are not believers in the community, with the hope that we have opportunities to have gospel conversations with them.
Yeah. We had spoken earlier about some expectations that people might have of small groups that probably they shouldn't have. And I think you touched on it, Nathan, when you talked about looking for a Piney family or a small group of people that resemble you. Homogeneity, you know, feeling, mm-hmm. trying to find your comfort level. Are there any other expectations that you wrote down when you did your studying?
Let me look. In my notebook.
That people might have of Piney families that really...
No, I did not write anything down. Good. I'll just fly by the seat of my pants, though, and say... I'll answer your question with a question, Steve.
Oh, please
do that.
See
what you guys think, rather than just spouting my thoughts. But do you think that we should expect, I think is a good word, expect our deepest friendships to be in our Piney family?
I think they could be.
No, but expect that they should be.
I don't think we should expect that they should be.
What say you, Brian?
I'm thinking through that. I think there's a good possibility that some of our closest friendships could emerge out of Piney families if we are doing what we've been talking about mm-hmm. on this podcast, being authentic and seeking to know people on a deeper heart level. I think that's certainly a possibility, but I don't think we can expect that going into mm-hmm. it.
I asked that because I think that we, again, going back to the idea of community and what that should look like, and probably even some of the ways that we've talked about it here at Piney Ridge, I think there's been an idealistic sort of idea, given that all of your deepest relationships will happen in Piney family. And so if you come to Piney Ridge Church and you're looking for friends, then you know you're gonna find those in a Piney family. And like, I agree with you, I think that could happen and may happen, and especially if you're really looking to, people want to be friends with someone who loves them and who is willing to serve them. I mean, that's a good way to make friends, but I think a quick way to kill friendship is to have an expectation and almost a burden that you put on people in a group, like, okay, you need to be my best friend, and so
you need to text me every hour.
Yeah, and it's almost guaranteed to fail. You know, it sets up a situation where that person feels the pressure, and then they want to withdraw because they sense that there's something unhealthy there, and so it kind of can set up a dynamic where it's doomed to failure, and you won't actually make a friend. But even beyond that, I think that because it's good for Piney families to be diverse in the kind of the types of people and, you know, interests and all those things, I think that a lot of times our people that we would consider close friends or friends that we're going to be doing things with often, you know, that we have things in common with that we're going to be able to connect on regularly. And so that may not be in our Piney family. And so it may be that, you know, somebody comes to Piney Ridge and they join a Piney family. Maybe they really love the people there. They serve them. They're blessed and served by that Piney family. But maybe they wouldn't say these people are going to be my closest friends. But maybe there's somebody else in the church that could be. I only say that because I think that sometimes we we can have the expectation. Our expectations are so high for friendship in Piney families that we don't even look outside of it, or we feel like we're almost, you know, being subversive to the Piney family model if we pursue friendships outside of Piney family. And there's the practical reality of you can only maintain so many relationships, close relationships, and so that does even limit the possibility of having relationships outside of Piney family. But I don't think we have to only have friends within Piney families, and or expect that our deepest friendships are absolutely going to be, you know, in our Piney family.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is it would be okay to practice hospitality and show hospitality to people that are not in our Piney family.
Yes, I am saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I did write down, I won't read it, but I was just thinking about what Piney family is for, why we gather in those groups. And I think it's similar to Sunday morning. Sometimes I think it's just a different way of seeing the idea of the kingdom of God has broken into this world. And so we can see that in our Sunday morning worship in, you know, a certain aspect of it. I think it's like a diamond. You see different facets of it. And I think in a smaller group, you see a different facet of that kingdom life and the beauty of what will be one day in fullness. We catch a glimpse of it in a small group in a way that's different than on a Sunday morning. You know, just that there's a place where we can, people who are just broken and tired of the world as it is, come and we gather with other people who feel the same way, who aren't content with the world as it is, who are looking forward to the day when Christ returns and restores all things, and people who are, you know, tired of feeling the pressure of expectations that our culture puts on us, just a place to be accepted as we are in the kingdom of God because of who Christ is. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we gather, and it's great to gather. I mean, we have groups now meeting almost every day of the week, but I think it's one reason why it's a special benefit, I think, of meeting midweek is that it's, we have that reminder on Sunday morning, but then to have it again kind of in the middle of the week that, oh yeah, we're part of this kingdom. This being reminded of, you know, the daily grind and the horrors of the world and the burdens of living life in this world wear us down, but then we gather again and go, oh yeah, we're part of another kingdom that maybe we don't see it clearly all the time, but we should see it more clearly in our Piney families than we do out in the world, because we're together saying we are redeemed by Christ and we're a part of this kingdom of love and peace and truth. And it's kind of like a safe haven moment in the middle of the week.
Amen. Mm-hmm. In Romans 12, we get a good picture of the body of Christ and what a Piney family should look like. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 9 to 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. And I think those verses sum up what we hope to do in Piney families. We hope to rejoice with each other, rejoicing in hope as we look at the Holy Spirit working in each other's lives. And we rejoice in the hope of what we see happening in their lives. We're patient in tribulation. We help each other to withstand the trials that we go through. And we're also patient with each other when we don't necessarily see a growth going on, trusting that the Holy Spirit is doing that work. We're constant in prayer. We must lift each other up in prayer in our Piney families. And we must contribute to the needs when they show up, and we must show hospitality to one another. So I think Paul got it right. And we could just say that's a manifesto for Piney families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.